From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of May, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Steve Platt of Archer Financial Service will join us to take up the energy markets. In just about 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for our look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota will bring us up to date on growing conditions in their regions. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a WILL production, public radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat, $7.85.5, down 8 cents today. July, down 9 and 3 quarters at $7.95 3/4. In the September contract, $8.10, down 9 and 3 quarters. May corn futures, $5.97.5, down 6 cents for the day. July futures off 7.5, down 7.5 at $6.07 1/4 in the July. And September contract, $6.19.5, down 7.25 for the day. December contract in the corn pit, your new crop harvest month, $6.31, a settlement price on a Tuesday afternoon, down 6.75. The gains came in the bean pit, 39.5 cents higher at $13.74.5 for the May contract. July beans at $13.79.5, up 37 cents in the August futures, $13.74.5, 37 cents higher. September contract, $13.44 3/4, up 32 1/4. November soybeans up 36.5 cents, $13.25 3/4, the final trade for the day. June live cattle futures at $94.35 a hundredweight, gained a nickel. August contract lost 12.5 cents at $99.97.5. May feeder cattle 108.75, 82.5 higher. The August contract at 112.65, 187.5 higher for the afternoon. And the lean hog settled like this. May contract 82.25, a finish $1.77.5 higher. And the June contract in the lean hogs at $77.67.5, up 65 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Outside markets on the afternoon trading like this at this hour. June contract in the crude oil at $125.80, up $1.57. July futures at $125.55, up $1.45. Ethanol contracts, June at $2.53 9/10, down 3 8/10. July futures off 3 tenths, at $2.51. Natural gas, June contract $11.42 4/10, up 12 3/10. And July futures at $11.56 3/10, they're up 13 2/10 of a cent. Heating oil trading the June contract at $3.69 7/10. That's up 13 7/10. July futures at $3.70 7/10, up 13 4/10 of a cent at this hour. May gold futures, $868.50, down $15.20 an ounce. June futures at $869.60, down $15.30. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,840 now stands just about 36 points lower, and the dollar is at 73.22. That's up 0.35 for the day. The CRB index at 424.74, down 0.07 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Ed Keezer. He says tonight across the two-state region, skies will be mostly cloudy. A few periods of rain, some thunderstorms likely. Those will range, lows will range rather, from 48 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 60 in the far south. Tomorrow in northern and west central Illinois, it'll be partly sunny. Elsewhere, it says in Illinois and the northwestern parts of Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers during the morning. In eastern and southern Indiana, cloudy, periods of rain, some thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 61 near Lake Michigan to 71 in the far south. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana, broadcasting service of the U of I.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us this afternoon from New Market, Indiana, with L&M Commodities is Wayne Nelson. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Why the rise in soybean prices today?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple things going on in the soybean market. First off, the crude oil took off right at the close and was up over $2 at that point in time. That, of course, helping the bean oil surge a little bit there, and a little bit of talk that some might be the palm oil might not be going into China as much as the bean oil. Also, the fact that the Argentine strike looks to maybe escalate a little bit, or there was rumors of it escalating a little bit, I guess is the best thing I can say, feeling that we would draw harder on the stock. And the third thing being that with the weather forecast we have, and the talk is that the corn acres are going to get planted, and we won't be gaining large acres of beans any more than what was expected beforehand, and possibly even losing a few acres. So all that together in a somewhat thin trade pushed the bean market quite higher in the close, Todd.
You know, tell me a little bit about what you're hearing on the weather forecast, because, of course, yesterday and even this afternoon, I think we'll hear that while it might be drier than it has been, that there's still an awful lot of rain in the forecast for much of the Corn Belt.
Well, you know, I think basically here, you know, yes, we've had two very, very nice days, but it's been way too wet to do anything, you know, yesterday and today. And, you know, as you said, Ed says showers tonight and tomorrow. That means another couple days out. So we're into the weekend even before we can do anything if the weather cooperates. And I think there's other areas like that. What we have been seeing, though, is a little less rain in the Iowa, southern Minnesota range. And the storm for mid next week being taken out of the forecast for that. So, and we did see some what we thought wasn't a real good week of planning. We did see some tremendous progress made in some of those areas, Todd.
Historically, we're coming up on the time frame if the market's going to rally in the month of May and really break out to one side or the other, generally the upside, around May 15th, May 18th. That's about the time it starts. What do you think the options are?
Well, I think, you know, as we've looked at a lot of different other opinions out there, some of the ideas are that we could see the bottom by the end of this week from this little sell-off, and then it turn up and go that way. So, you know, there's a lot of that feeling out there. The funds have been extremely long corn, you know, record long positions in the corn, and they were feeling that they might not that there was a little liquidation from some of the funds because of that, and that also that we were seeing the crop get planted. The other thing is, as you said, we're going to be taking a real close look next week, next Monday, which would be the 19th, to see where are we at planting? Are we still at the pace that they think we can be at? Because if we do get you know, spotty rains across here continually, it's going to be hard to make a good step forward in the progress, Todd. So, you know, all that taken into respect, why that and the demand as we go along, as we see things going, because we do need a good crop in both corn and soybeans, as the balance sheet showed us on the WASDE report, Todd.
Yeah, I was thinking from this point forward, it will be next year's carryout in the corn that producers and traders will probably have their eye on. It is at pipeline levels.
Everything's very, very tight. I mean, and as we see things move along here, why it's just a very nervous feeling out there. We're at extremely high levels, but we can't go higher, just like we saw in the week.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
You know, watch the crude oil. We had a refinery go down. You know, we've seen the heating oil up strong here. We're up, you know, 13.5 cents here today just on the heating oil or the diesel fuel. So that's what's pushing things. We're seeing a 20-cent increase in gas prices here in Crawfordsville today.
We thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to listen to him again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G. .org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. USDA released its latest estimate of crop progress at 3 p.m. Central yesterday. You can see the complete numbers on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just hit the USDA reports link. Now, in a moment, we'll hear complete details from the states of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. But first, here's how the national numbers panned out. Corn now planted at 51% nationwide. Last year at this time, 71% of the crop was in the ground. And the five-year rolling average is 77%. 11% of the corn crop has emerged. That compares to last year at 32% and the five-year average of 33%. Winter wheat has headed at the rate of 36%. Last year, 47%. The five-year, 53%. It's said to be in 58% good to excellent condition, 25% fair, and 16% of the winter wheat is in poor to very poor condition. Soybeans, just 11% planted nationwide. Last year that stood at 26% on this date, and the five-year rolling average is 29%.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 11, 2008. Fields remained wet with scattered showers and cool temperatures. Some areas of the state received frost. Cool and wet soil slowed emergence of crops. All districts were able to make strides in planting, putting in over one-fifth of the intended corn acres. Many fields were planted in less than ideal conditions. Areas of the state experienced erosion with last week's rain. Cattle are being moved to permanent pasture. There were 3.0 days suitable for field work compared to 3.8 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 0% very short, 0% short, 50% adequate, 50% surplus across the state. Subsoil moisture rated 0% very short, 0% short, 48% adequate, and 52% surplus. Corn is 46% planted, behind last year's and the five-year average of 70 and 82% respectively. Corn planting is 11 days behind the five-year average. Oat seeding was 82% complete, approximately 9 days behind last year. Oats emerged was 32%, behind last year's 73% and the five-year average of 87%. Fertilizer application is 86% complete, 7 percentage points behind last year, and 9 percentage points behind the five-year average. Again, this has been Brad Parks with USDA Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Thanks.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 11th. Another window of opportunity opened again last week, giving corn planters an average of 4 days to roll and attempt to catch the five-year average. However, the gray, wet side of Mother Nature swept into the state over the weekend, parking planters for at least another 3 disappointing days. Corn planting advanced by another 32 percentage points last week and is currently at 60% complete, still trailing last year's 87% and the 5-year average of 88%. 12% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 53% 1 year ago and 58% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in corn planting progress were the Central and East crop reporting districts at 76%, while the Southeast crop reporting district trailed all others at 41% planted. Soybean planters began rolling last week with progress advancing to 7%. This compares with 33% 1 year ago and 32% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in planting progress was the Northwest crop reporting district at 12% complete. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 17% headed, well behind the 64% 1 year ago and 67% 5-year average. 1% of the crop was reported filled, compared with 9% last year and the 5-year averages. Overall, the wheat crop continued to be rated in fair to mostly good condition. Pastures, alfalfa, and red clover fields continued their rapid growth and were rated in fair to mostly good condition. The first cutting of alfalfa continued last week at 3% complete, compared to 9% last year and 11% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Suzette Qualley from USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 11, 2008. Producers made large advances on field work and plantings of corn and small grains during the past week. As of May 11th, progress of all crops remained behind last year and the five-year average. Statewide, on average, there were 3.4 days suitable for field work during the week. The average temperature for the week was 49.8 degrees, 3.7 degrees below normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies, as of Friday, were rated 1% short, 70% adequate, and 29% surplus. As of Sunday, May 11th, land prepared for corn planting was 45% complete, compared to 88% last year and 91% for the five-year average. Corn planted was 32% complete, compared to 83% last year and 82% average. Land prepared for soybean planting was 9% complete, compared to 50% last year and 47% average. Spring wheat was 67% planted, compared to 88% last year and 84% average. 9% of spring wheat was emerged, compared to 43% last year and 40% average. Oats were 65% planted, compared to 87% last year and 89% average. Potatoes were 51% planted, compared to 66% last year and 70% average. Pasture conditions were rated 31% fair, 41% good, and 10% excellent. Alfalfa conditions were rated 28% fair, 46% good, and 12% excellent. This is Suzette Qualley from USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 11, 2008.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, director of the USDA NAS Field Office in Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 11. Most of the state received heavy spring showers late in the week that saturated fields and halted field activities, but farmers made good progress early in the week. Thunderstorms and very high winds caused damage in some areas. Standing water existed in low-lying areas in many fields, leaving corn planted about 1 day behind last year and 4 days behind the average planting pace. Soil moisture remained significantly wet, and germination emergence of corn planted was slowed by the cool, wet soils. Precipitation for the week averaged 0.18 to 4.71 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 87 degrees to a low of 35. For the week ending Friday, 3.5 days were rated as suitable for field work. Corn planting was halted across most of the state after the rains arrived later in the week. Indiana corn planting was rated at 61% complete, compared to 68% for last year at this time and 72% for the five-year average. By regions of the state, 61% of the intended corn acreage is planted in northern Indiana, 74% planted in the central region, and 34% planted in southern Indiana. 19% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared with 27% for last year and 35% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans was slowed by the wet soils and recent rains and fell to 6 days behind the five-year average, with 19% planted compared to 35% for the five-year average. 86% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage, compared to 90% last year and 93% for the five-year average. 13% of the winter wheat is headed, compared to 25% last year at this time, and 32% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 72% good to excellent, compared to 37% last year at this time. Thanks to all reporters across Indiana who provide this information this each week. This is Greg Press reporting from the Indiana Ag Statistics Service.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, it's an affiliate of ADM in Chicago, joins us now to take a look at the energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with a couple of things. We have a whole list that we might want to go through, but I think it might be important to hit these new high prices in crude and what you think of them.
Well, I think we talked about last month, the market's looking ahead and looking at the supply-demand situation, not right now, but a year out. I think the concern is that the excess sustainable production capacity is rather low, and that further gains in consumption could certainly stress this market even further and push prices further to the upside, which is would have been unthinkable, I think, even a month ago.
What is the capacity for the U.S., and has it been stressed lately?
Well, it's not just the U.S. Certainly, we're trying to pump all out. It's really OPEC who is really the swing producer, and particularly Saudi Arabia. You're talking maybe about 3 million barrels by OPEC in terms of excess production that they could bring online in rather quick order that is not a lot, given the fact that we're basically adding as much as 1 million barrels of demand each year here, and even more when prices were a lot lower.
And that's production sized. International Energy Agency has some demand figures. Do you have some highlights from them?
Well, they basically took their demand figure down by a couple hundred thousand. They're looking at global demand at 86.8 million. They started back in July with their first estimate for 2008 at 88, so they have brought it down considerably. But once again, it's still showing demand expanding by over 1 million barrels. We're still seeing weakness in the U.S. and Europe, but outside those areas in the emerging market areas, you're still getting the increases taking place. What's happening is we're seeing a real decoupling of the developed market economies growth rates to those of the emerging markets. And what's their internal demand in those areas is enough to offset some of the losses they're seeing in terms of some of the import demand by the developed countries. So their demand has been able to hold up quite well and still leading to an expansion in global crude oil demand.
Let's see if we can bring it a little closer to the farm and the hearth and talk a bit about heating oil, which is also diesel.
Correct. Well, in the most latest reports, in one of the areas which is a big diesel middle distillate user is Europe. They've grown accustomed to the diesel engine in their cars and for transportation, and that has been a big market here. We've seen diesel prices since a year ago move up over $1.50 to around $4.33, well above what gasoline has done, which has gotten all the attention. Diesel stocks were revised down on a global basis, particularly in Europe, here by over 18 million barrels in today's report out of Europe. And that was a big surprise and forced the heating oil market here up over 13, 14 cents today, which had gains considerably off of crude. So we have seen the margins expand dramatically.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate out of Chicago. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us right here on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. University of Illinois students from China hope to organize a relief effort after yesterday's powerful earthquake. One student says he's been able to reach friends and relatives in Sichuan Province, where the quake was centered. He says they were not hurt. Local students are starting to collect donations for relief. The U of I had nearly 900 students from mainland China last semester, with more than two-thirds of them graduate students. It's not known how many of those students are from Sichuan. Closing arguments of political fundraiser Antoine Tony Rezko's fraud trial in Chicago are in a second day, as a defense attorney called the government's star witness a quintessential con man. Rezko is charged with scheming with Stuart Levine to split a payoff from a contractor who wanted state permission to build a hospital. Levine testified against Rezko. He is also charged with scheming with Levine to shake down money management firms that wanted to invest assets of the state's teacher pension fund. Rezko denies any involvement in both schemes. Students and parents get the chance tonight to ask questions about a planned alternative school in Champaign. Unit 4 hopes to open the new Academic Alternative Academy this fall. It'll offer more flexible hours for students who may be underperforming in the regular high school setting. Assistant Superintendent for Achievement Mike McFarland says the school is expected to start with about 60 students, depending on its popularity. The information meeting is at 6 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. The city of Champaign is considering beefing up its apartment inspection program. Council members tonight will discuss a plan to add a second full-time inspector. Currently, the city conducts mandatory inspections on rental units every 5 years. The goal is every 3 years. Desmond Tutu is visiting Springfield's Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. There, a portrait of the human rights activist is being unveiled. Tutu is expected to travel to Chicago sometime this afternoon to accept the Lincoln Leadership Prize. It's awarded by the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation. The South African Nobel Peace Laureate jokingly told reporters the artist managed to improve on his real-life appearance. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Dry weather maybe sometime?
Maybe sometime. Drier and warmer weather, though, that would be at least consistent. It's still not in our grasp yet, at least for another week or so. There's going to be a large area of low pressure forming over the Midwest, the Great Lakes. In fact, just about all points east of the Mississippi will be averaging with below normal temperatures, as much as 4 to 10 degrees below normal between now and the middle of next week, and near to above normal precipitation chances. And in areas that don't need any more, especially favoring the central and southern areas, only the northern and northwest areas of the Corn Belt will be spared from the brunt of the rain.
And if you look further out, do we ever dry out?
Well, we've got some signs of that. We're going to see some pretty big high pressure developing along the West Coast into the Great Basin states that will actually bring warmer than normal temperatures there. Eventually, that is going to translate eastward into the High Plains and into the Midwest and Corn Belt, but it may not be until around or just after that Memorial Day weekend. That's when we may start to see a transition towards a warmer, drier pattern. So we can see it. We can see that light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train, but it's going to be another week or so.
Boy, not very good news for farmers across the Corn Belt trying to put a corn crop and a bean crop both in the ground. What do we hear from other parts of the world? For instance, is China having the same types of difficulties?
Well, they are in some areas. The rain has been favoring the central and southern and west central areas of China. They haven't maybe had as much, but they have been a little bit consistently wet in some areas as well, although maybe not as widespread as what we've seen here in the U.S.
And other places around the planet you're keeping in tap on?
Yeah, as we take a look over in Europe, at least it is going to be a moist weather pattern for most of Europe, Eastern, Central, and Western Europe, the Ukraine, the wheat areas of Europe, all averaging near to above normal precipitation, and that really goes for the whole European continent and portions of Russia as well.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day, Don?
I think that'll do her.
All right. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website where you can listen to today's futures analysis and the weather reports. They're all at willag.org. That's willag.org. And don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. And if you'd like, you can try out a podcast or two. Have this program delivered directly to your computer, and you can take it in the tractor with you to listen to any time you'd like. Speaking of which, I know you're getting tired. Make sure you take those naps in the afternoon. Be safe out there today. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.